We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Flo with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants, go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have our good producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins. How are you, sir?
Hello.
From the same location today. Brian and I in the same room, just like the good old days.
I hate your face.
Ah, me too. Ah, worth the spoon. We have our own hot take Harry, Mr. Harrison Citron.
Yep, I'm here. Good to go.
What an intro. Yep, good to go. I'm here. We have our friend of the show, Twitter friend, at CrabSmutPuddler. I love saying that name. It's a great, amazing name. Crab, how are you, sir?
Good uses to you.
So we got jokes. And our special guest today, we have Mr. Clayton Ferrano. Clay, I don't know how to say it. Am I saying your name right? I'm always scared with names.
Yeah, that's quite right. Ferrero works just fine. You guys are good. But special guest, I think you're giving me a little bit too much love there. That's not needed.
Well, we call everyone a special guest, so you're not that special. We just do that. Yeah, we just do that so the guest feels good. Clay, can you tell people where to find you?
You can check me out on Twitter at ClayWPLG. For those of you in South Florida, we're locally on WPLG Channel 10, which is the ABC affiliate. So, when the Heat are doing well, we get a lot of their primetime games and stuff like that. This year, not so much. But hey, who knows? After in the Kelly Olynyk era, maybe we'll get some more.
Oh,
games.
My God. Well, I guess we're going to.
Christ Almighty.
I wanted to make a local news joke, but then, Clay had to get right into it. So I guess that's where we're going.
If it had anything to do with Anchorman, then by all means, bring it on.
Let's say, what even is local news?
it's what gets me on podcasts.
Yeah, look at that. You and Will Mansell climbing the ladder up to Heat Beat.
That's right.
Did any of you see the special that John Oliver did on local news, on that local news conglomerate? Did anybody see it?
I did not. No.
Oh man, it was fascinating. Did any Harry or Crab? Did you?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I'm alone here. Okay, I guess we're not talking about that. Moving on to Kelly Olynyk and his smelly hippie contract. Now, if you are familiar with the show, you know how much I hate Tyler Johnson. Not Tyler Johnson the person. Tyler Johnson, the backloaded contract that the Nets thought was a good idea to sign him to. I feel like this Olynyk contract is the second incarnate of that. Not as bad. However, my confusion with the Olynyk deal is more the years rather than the money. I don't understand why the Heat would tether themselves to anyone. Maybe, like, I understand Dion and James Johnson a little bit, but I don't understand why you'd tether yourself to anyone for 4 years, much less Kelly Olynyk. So, I guess, Harrison, we can start with you. Are you as mad as I am, or?
No. No, I don't think anyone's ever as angry as you. You need to go to a therapist or something. But, and that's coming from Hot Take Harry of all
people. The entire car ride.
But listen, I think you have to, if you have faith in the front office to do certain things, and you have to have faith that they're making correct moves in terms of the players that they go after and the contracts that they give. And if they feel like Kenny Olynyk, who's 26, you know, coming off a pretty good year with the Celtics, a year in which he didn't play a lot, but where his skill set can definitely help the Heat, you got to trust it. And you don't have to like it, and you can be upset about it. But I think his skill set translates to things that can help the Heat. But and the 4 years.
Harry, the years, man. Like, why are you tethering yourself to anything that long? The Heat are in the situation where you would hope that in two, three years, the team looks completely different. Why would you tether yourself for 4 years? And I know you're going to say, it's a movable deal, Giancarlo. It's just like Tyler Johnson. It's a movable deal. Like, I hate hearing that because we said the McBob's deal was movable and we haven't been able to move it. So,
well, yeah, I just did.
Well, yeah. It took LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade leaving. That all happened before McBob's got moved.
So
my thing is, like, in isolation, any one of these deals, Dion Waiters, Kelly Olynyk, the Big Bob trade, they make sense by themselves, but in the context of the overall roster, I don't know what they're doing. Like, they're going to be capped out heading into next summer, and they might not even be able to retain Winslow or Jay Rich. And then they're giving up second round picks after second round picks. And then they're going to have money tied into Waiters, JJ, and Olynyk in 2020.
And Tyler Johnson.
No, actually, his deal expires summer of 2020.
Excuse me.
So they're heading into summer of 2020 with like a third of their cap already taken up, but no Whiteside, no Dragic. Nothing like
the guys you want.
Why not just clean the books entirely?
Clay, you want to get in on this?
Yeah, I mean, a few things. I was really surprised by the move. I think, I'm sure you guys do this, but us at Channel 10, we have a text thread, we have an iMessage thread, and the immediate reaction was, what on earth is going on? And we were all trying to figure it out. And Will actually didn't respond to me, and then I found out that a car crashed into a tree in front of his house, so I didn't feel so bad as to why he wasn't responding. So check that out on Twitter. It's he posted a picture of it. I think we were all surprised. I think we're all still a little surprised. I think as we've delved into it a little bit more, I think I'm not going to pretend to have watched every single Boston game. I don't think many of us did. I was surprised at how good of a 3-point shooter he is. I was surprised at his efficiency in pick and roll. I was surprised at how, in theory, he could fit with Whiteside. To your point about the deal, I think there is some sticker shock when you see the 4 years. My concern all along with the flexibility moving forward with this team, and namely over the next year, is next year's free agent class. I know everybody's pointing at this and all excited about it. It's LeBron. It's Russ. It's Paul George. Beyond that, I don't think Riley really wanted DeMarcus Cousins. I think he could have had him. I think he could have offered something to Sacramento and taken him and didn't make an offer. And so I think Riley's looking at this and saying, okay, realistically, next summer, frankly, I think that's why he went so hard after Gordon Hayward. I think he viewed Gordon Hayward as, after those three, and perhaps even after just Russ and LeBron, as perhaps the best available free agent that he was going to see in this class or next year, a realistic free agent. So I think he's looking at next year's free agent class and thinking, all right, the only way that I'm going to bring in a star or a star caliber player is via trade. The only way I'm going to do that is if I have assets to trade. So, yes, perhaps there is a fit with Olenek. The flip side of that is that contract, I know you hate to hear this, it is movable. McRoberts situation was one that nobody doubted that deal when it happened. I think it's been his inability to stay healthy that was the real problem. Now, if Olenek comes in and he has all sorts of injury issues, then absolutely, it's but a risk, and it becomes playing, an unmovable deal.
That's your result playing. You know, just because a guy got hurt, it makes a contract worth to coach E.J. Ramos. But McBob's is Olenek. Like, they're versions of each other, and I know we're going to make the joke of white comparison, but kind of, I mean, and McBob's is a bit of better of a defender, and Olenek's more of a volume shooter, but they have kind of similar skill sets.
They don't. They don't.
What do you mean they don't?
It's just the long hair. Is that what you're saying?
You're being a little discriminatory.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Olenek's not a 0.5.
You're sounding very obtuse right now.
Yeah, Olenek's not a 0.5. Excuse me.
Olenek can finish the job LeBron couldn't and break LeBron's arm.
Hold on. I don't think we've talked enough about the fact that to get LeBron back, Riley signed the guy that elbowed him that very playoffs run. Like, he's Kobe. Remember when the Lakers kept getting guys that Kobe was fighting with? Artez, Matt Barnes?
Well, but he mitigated that by getting Shabazz Napier, right? I mean, so that made it all better.
LeBron took us for a ride. Jesus Christ. No. Oh, my God. So, if they're not moving Tyler, which I guess we all thought the Dallas thing was to move Tyler, it would appear that's not so. Also, with the Olenek thing, they drafted Bam, right? So are we getting another guy to take minutes away from Bam? Again, the deal for me, I know that you're saying it's movable, blah, blah, blah. But, like, and I agree. He's a fit, right? Like, he'll be fine. Like, he's a shooter. You want stretch bigs. I just don't get the beyond 2 years why you'd want him. And also, do you believe in Bam or do you not believe in Bam? Right? Because...
That's my problem with the Deion deal. Like... Do you believe in Tyler Johnson or Josh Richardson? Because if you don't, why don't you just move them?
I don't think we expect Josh Richardson to be what Deion's a creator. I don't think we expect Jay Rich to be that. I think we expect Jay Rich to be a guy who can bring the ball up without disaster, play defense, and shoot threes. I think that's the goal with Jay Rich. Deion's a creator and a defender, and you know what I mean? So I think it's a little different. Bam is supposed to be a guy, in theory, that you want to stretch the floor, to play defense, to, like, play with Hassan, essentially, right? Like, at least that's the idea that I got after Summer League and watching, you know, reading more about him, that you want him, because I think they envision him to shoot, right? Because his stroke looks good, and they were bragging about it. So, like, that's what I don't understand. Like, you bring a guy in who can shoot, who's a better shooter than Bam, obviously, but not the defender that you want Bam to be. And again, it's just taking minutes away from a guy that I would imagine you want to develop. That also takes time away from Justice at the four, which is something that we've all liked and talked about. So it's just so puzzling that they'd get another forward, especially with us expecting James Johnson to come back.
Well, I think to Clay's point, I think they're just setting themselves up for more trades down the line. Like, this can't be it, right? There has to be something more. It's going to happen soon.
I mean, trade for what?
Oh, if I know.
Like, who? Like,
yeah. And I don't know that it's now. I don't know that it's this offseason. I think they fully expect to go into camp with a roster something like what we see right now. I think they fully believe that there is a fit there where Olenek plays with Hassan, where Olenek backs up Hassan, where you play Olenek and Bam and Hassan at the same time. I think they firmly believe that. Now, as the season goes on and you see what you've got in all these guys, I mean, there were some times when you watched Bam in Summer League and he did look like Sean Kemp. He did look like he was ready to go out there and crush people. Then he goes 1-for-13 and has 27 fouls in the finale. I mean, there is certainly going to be a growth curve there. Now, to your point, do the minutes kind of stymie that development there? I think that there's going to be a balance where with Bam, you're going to find out very early on, can you play him? Where can you put him on the floor? And how much can you play him where he helps you win while developing? I think they expect the development largely to happen off the floor when he's working with Juwan Howard and Hassan Whiteside and those guys in practice. Oh, man.
Leader Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah, seriously. But I think going up against guys in practice is where they want that development to occur. I think they want the game minutes to be, I'm going to steal a Spoism, but winning minutes, to go out there and make winning plays, and how is he going to fit to help the team win at least this rookie year? And I think it's all going to be one giant puzzle that they firmly believe is going to fit. It'll be interesting to watch how it comes together in camp.
Are you guys seeing what's developing on Twitter right now?
Yeah, but but I was just going to say, Clay, are we really counting this morning's game against Bam? Because, who's ready to play at 8 a.m.? It's like a joke. No one even knew the game.
We're barely ready to go to work at 8 a.m.
Did they even have a shoot around? Do we know?
Dude, I wasn't even awake. I watched to watch the reruns. That's summer league. It is what it is. And I don't take much out of that. I do think his ceiling is so high, and not to get off track, but I have never seen Spo talk about a player like he talked about Bam at that news conference. He was gushing, and it was not fake. How much Spo loves this guy is not fake. And I don't know that they necessarily got him because they viewed any sort of, okay, how does he fit in with Hassan right now? How does he how's he going to work the pick and roll? I think they saw him as, oh my goodness, we have got this incredibly talented, incredibly agile, large man that is much more skilled once we saw him in person than even what we saw on film. And as we delve deeper, we had to have him. And so I think that was more of a best player available sort of thing. Whereas the Olenek thing is the one where you're like, okay, where does this fit come in?
Clay, but that's so short-sighted of them. And I know that they get accused that a lot, but the guys that before they signed Dion, the only people that you were committed to long-term were Goran, Hassan, and Tyler Johnson. And when you draft a young player, you have to consider, how are they going to fit with your two best players that you're committed to? Not just fiscally, but in terms of years. You know what I mean? So,
you mean like how the Trailblazers wanted to consider how Michael Jordan would fit with Clyde Drexler, so they took Sam Bowie instead?
Yeah.
I mean,
I get it.
Short-sighted. 4-year deal for James Johnson, according to Woj, just got an update.
Do we have the money yet?
Not yet.
No,
not yet.
I'm sure the money's the next tweet.
Yeah, things are developing. Okay, so did the James Johnson deal happen? I guess the McBob salary dump made that possible.
Have you guys ever had this much breaking news on the Heat Beat pod? This is pretty incredible.
No, Clay, actually, we have a great story. We had Harrison. Actually, Harrison was on that show. Harrison and I did a show with George Sedano. We did an hour show. It was great. It was awesome. Harrison and Sedano kept fighting. We finished the show. It was like around the time that Dwayne was leaving. We end the show. I'm not saying, I'm two, 3 minutes later, the news drops that Dwayne is leaving.
Oh, no.
Right after we finished.
Oh no!
It was
so
your
whole
bad.
Fighting back and forth was just completely rendered irrelevant.
No, and Harrison was mad because Harrison was right about everything.
Yeah, I really took Sedano to school, and no one listened to that pod because it was right before Wade left, so it was kind of obsolete.
So I listened, Harry.
Harrison.
I listened.
Harrison.
Thank you. Thank
Is that
you.
How you say it, Harrison?
Yeah, he was mad at me.
I didn't post.
That's
amazing. I think I posted it. later on in the season when we didn't have a show as a lost episodes kind of thing. Because it's like, we're discussing for an hour about what's Dwayne going to do. And then, we decided. I think we have to record the very next day.
Yeah, we had Izzy on.
Man, what a good week of shows. Man, we killed it.
Was Izzy before or after Dwayne left?
It was after.
Was right after.
Yeah. Izzy
So at least that content held then.
Exactly,
that was good.
Yeah. Izzy was sloppy seconds.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
That was an emergency guest book. Wow, that's funny. Yeah, a lot of. So we still don't have a number on. I don't see nobody set a number on James Johnson. I think
I got you ready.
Do you have it?
When it posts, okay, I'll have you ready.
Gotcha. The other thing that, and I touched on a little bit before, I like Justice at the Four. And I think a lot of people were fans of that, especially because he's a creator and because he's not really a threat shooting yet. You kind of want him on the ball with all those guys off of him, and him at the four can really exploit a lot of matchups because he's so quick and good with the ball. And this crowded front court really takes that out of his position, and, you know, a more agile defender will be guard.
Run him at the point. By big lineup.
Well, you know, about that, I kind of feel like, and I know we've talked, I've seen stuff on Twitter, and they kind of go in the Milwaukee-Philly direction where they're just getting a bunch of length. Which I really like, by the way. And if you've watched any games that Milwaukee has played against Golden State, they play them tough, dude. And that might be the kind of team that you need to build to compete with these really fast, small ball shooting teams. The guys who are agile, long, and athletic. Robert Covington, Giannis, like those kinds of players who that can shoot and dribble and are versatile. So that might be kind of what they envision. I just wish they got somebody better than Kenny Olynyk for 4 years.
Well, and that's, again, that's where you question the fit. And clearly Spo has forgotten more basketball and Riley has forgotten more basketball than the rest of us have. I do think it's interesting. I want to see more that comes out on Olynyk's ability to do exactly what you're talking about, because I think that it's a fantastic point that I remember even the Heat when they played Milwaukee at points, not necessarily last year, but the year before. It was shocking seeing how unable they were to do anything because of the length. And that was when I first kind of took note of what Milwaukee had built there defensively. And absolutely, I mean, that is how you defend in the new age NBA. And I think that's, again, part of the reason why they loved Bam is that he can guard literally 2 through 5. I'm not going to put him out there on a point guard, although Calipari would say that he guarded De'Aaron Fox. But Bam can guard anyone, and I think he's a perfect fit for that. And who knows? Maybe Olynyk is better at getting out there on the perimeter than I give him credit for, having watched as little Celtics games as I did. Honestly, we only watched him play
one day. He's not a bad defender, Olynyk. He's not a great one. I think he's above average. He does have moments in pick and roll where he does get lost, a la Kevin Love, but. I don't think his production is going to be quite. I think he's going to be a productive player. He's obviously better than Luke Babbitt, and Luke Babbitt produced last year. Luke Babbitt was a productive basketball player. And if you replace Luke Babbitt with Kelly Olynyk, you are going to be productive. He's going to be productive. I'm not questioning that. I don't think he's a bad basketball player. I like to make fun of him because he looks like a smelly hippie. And, other than that, I think he's going to be productive. The years and crowding the front court and stunting the development of players is what I'm concerned about.
I have a great nugget right now on Twitter.
Okay.
This comes from our Christian Hernandez, which goes about Kelly Olynyk signing and why maybe it might make sense for the Heat. He says, Kelly Olynyk is a career 51% three-point shooter from the corners, to which Mike Ryan replied, Shane Battier wasn't going to let this team sign Rudy Gay over his dead body.
Yes. Shane Battier knows a little something about corner threes too.
He does.
Yeah, there's also a stat that only Olynyk and Dirk Nowitzki are guys with 200 threes and 400 assists. Let me get the right.
No, they're gonna I get what they're doing. They're trying to build versatility, and I think one of the things that goes underappreciated about Golden State is what they do. They don't run pick and roll as often as they probably should, but when they do, like for example, if Draymond's a screener. And he kept, they set the pick and roll way outside. And when Draymond goes to roll, are you yawning, Harrison?
Yeah.
You and Alf, dude. Nobody, Clay, this always happens. I try to explain pick and roll or schemes, and then they just start yawning and making fun of me.
But you didn't have to call me out. I'm just
tired. Yeah, because it hurts. You know, sound effects hurt, Harrison. Words hurt.
Dude, I don't know if y'all can see right now, but, he's got tears in his eyes right now.
It hurts.
This is a little awkward. It's
Clay, do you have any co-hosts that are this mean?
I mean,
on air? No. Off air? 100%.
We make a lot of deal like in person.
Will Manso is evil. I mean, no, nobody's gonna like. He's just evil.
My God. I believe no. it. He has this nice, no, he has this nice guy persona. No, he's a phony. I believe it. No one's no, that nice.
I really wish that I had like cool stories to tell you guys about how much fighting goes on off air. When it comes to that stuff, we're so boring. And part of it is because and this is going to make all of y'all really mad. We're all really big Yankee fans in our department. So
what's
we talk about baseball all the time. We've all got the Aaron Judge T-shirts we walk around in. So we geek out on a lot of the same stuff. So I think even if we did fight about stuff, we'd always find a way to come to a resolution around these common goals. So I wish I could come on here and tell you guys like some inside dirt about fighting or whatever. But
I imagine your fights are like, you're the best. No, you're the best. No, you're the best. No,
what are our fights about?
You're in the like cafeteria line and Will Mantle bumps into you and you drop your tray and he goes, clean that up. That's a funny visual. That's a really funny visual.
That may or may not have happened.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. You heard it here first. Will Manso is a bully. Yeah, scoop. Heat beat bomb.
Sources close to me tell me that that Will knocks my tray out in the cafeteria line.
Sure.
Man, I'm trying to think of some stuff that might be good to talk about along those lines.
Let's get to the real stuff. When the hell's TJ getting traded? What's taking so long? Why has this not happened? Because everyone keeps telling me how movable this contract is. I've been waiting since the day it was signed. The day. I was hiking in a mountain and everybody on Twitter was telling me, it's okay, they'll be able to move it.
Look, you need Giancarlo. I hate to be the person.
They're going
to
be capped out next year. Do they have a pick? Because they're not going to get a pick this year. They're going to be too good to keep their pick.
I hate to be the person to tell you this, but you kind of need TJ this year if your only point guard in the roster is Goran.
Then why did you sign Kelly Olynyk? Get a guard.
Relax, man. You're gonna blow out. I don't know. I can't even think of what you're gonna do. But you just need to take. You need to relax.
Yeah,
going
into the man right because now
because TJ
his
running
veins
offense
are popping out of his freaking
because
face.
TJ running offense was so good last year.
You're gonna have an aneurysm. Shut up.
That's thank you, Brian. That was the word I was thinking of. So listen, just chill out a little bit. The Heat are running the team back.
Why
from
are they
last
signing
year.
These smelly like white guys?
They're hoping that they can, you know, get a similar pace to when they were 30-11 the second half of the season. And if not, then they'll move guys in February.
To do what, dude?
Dude, this is a whole plan that Riley's setting up.
Dude, I'm sorry.
4 years from now, we have 4-year contracts signed so we can go get Gordon Hayward in 2020.
I'm a hashtag Riley lifer, okay? But there comes a point that some stuff gets a little ridiculous. I don't know what the hell they're doing. It doesn't make any damn sense. They don't have anything of value. Like,
that's not true. That's false.
What's of value? Justice? Kind of?
All these contracts right
Man,
now.
They couldn't
none
even
of these,
get a first round pick for Goran last year, at the deadline.
They could get two first round picks for Goran if they really want to move him.
Harrison, I don't know why you think that. Who would give you two? If anybody trades for Goran, it's going to be a contender, and a contender's not going to give you two first round picks. They're probably not going to have any.
I feel like that whole rant that you just had about a minute ago about they have nothing, I feel like the Heat should actually clip that and send it out to all their season ticket holders.
They should! Put me on the screen at the AAA.
They should try to use that to sell tickets to games. Like in those commercials that you watch during games, the ads where you can buy tickets. Yeah, I feel like they just need to run that rant. They have nothing!
They don't!
They have nothing!
Giancarlo, we said the same thing last year, and we got off to a terrible start because none of these guys were clicking together.
Didn't.
And once it clicked, we were on pace to be a 60-win team.
Harrison, the Heat are thinking. We know
if you don't
they,
know my
they,
name
they
by now.
They weren't a 60-win team. They overperformed the second half of the year because they shot like Golden freaking State. That was a 500 ball club because they underperformed the first half of the year and they were really, really hurt. And then in the second half of the year, they were, you know, the spirit of Naismith took over, you know, like.
Okay. So why can't you, it's either they're going to play above their heads and they'll be, you know, a top four team in the East.
They're not going to be a top four. Get out of here, dude.
Or more than likely, they'll probably be a middle of the pack team and be a 5 or 6 team in the East, or Whoopie everything do. Goes to absolute crap and they have contracts that they can move but by Harrison, February. Those are the
so
three options.
Capped out next year. Like, it's different if you're telling me we're going to try to be competitive while maintaining flexibility. I'm with that. That's a sell. But you cannot tell me that we're going to be a 60 for the next 4 damn years. Get out of here. What the hell? They don't have any flexibility anymore. They don't. Well, they've committed money
goes,
to guys that you're saying.
Original point. Huh? That goes back to your original point, though, is I think they do feel like that contract is movable. And the Tyler contract, I think, it's a little bit more difficult when you look at it on its face, that it does jump up as much as it does. However, the thing with Tyler is, I mean, dude's 24 years old. I mean, we don't know how good he could be next year, the year after that. The ceiling is still – he's still an ascending player. And I think there's a chance that he gets better and better. I think same thing for Deion if he stays healthy. And, again, that's my big question
I think
about Deion.
If Deion
contract.
Just reproduces what he did last season, you're fine. But I think Tyler's kind of who – like, maybe he might pick up a couple skills here and there, but like I think this is about the player that he is, right? And
oh, I don't know about that. At 24, you think he's done improving and getting better?
Man, well, he doesn't have the aptitude to be a high pick and roll creator. He's a good shooter and he's a good defender, and he could bring the ball beyond half court without turning it over.
He's a really athletic player. He can get to the rim.
He's a very good cutter. I think that's who he is. He is an off guard off the bench that's getting paid too much money for his role. Now,
all right, but Giancarlo, I think what Clay and I are trying to say is like we're basically arguing the semantics of what flexibility means. Like for years, right, flexibility.
Yeah, but you know what they're gonna do, Harrison? They're gonna trade the Tyler. They're gonna trade the Tyler contract in when it's about to expire. When they should keep it at that point. You know what I mean? Like the contract only had value in the beginning and at the very end because teams are going to want that kind of flexibility.
No, but listen.
What the hell's the point?
But listen, the Heat for the last few years have been doing these one-year deals and having space open for free agents. And unfortunately, like you're seeing that if you don't have the connections, if you don't have the coach the guy went to college with, if you don't have this 73-win team, you might not be able to land the big whale that you want. So why not sign guys that fit into your system at reasonable rates?
What? Because Gordon Hayward's
Kelly Olynyk friends with.
Gordon Hayward's not going to come because you got Kelly Olynyk. Get out of here. Because you either maintain flexibility to get free agents.
No.
Brian, okay. No, I'm not. Brian's trying to stop me. You either maintain flexibility to get free agents or you keep your damn draft picks and you draft. You cannot do neither. It's what they're doing.
You guys both missed my point. I was saying more like Gordon Hayward went to Boston because of his old coach and KD went to Golden State because they were an all-time team. Not that signing Olynyk.
Then what the hell are you doing? Yes, I get that. You either go to Golden State, Cleveland, or you go play with your college coach.
Well, no, if you're Riley, you're acquiring assets.
What asset? Kelly Olynyk's an asset now?
Yeah, if that contract, that contract is an asset. That contract is absolutely
to who? Because I was told that about Tyler Johnson.
That's Bam to it or Justice.
Right.
Geez, stop yelling.
4 years at 12.5 is not bad. Especially in this market, I think you look at what some. I mean, look, would you rather have Olynyk or Mozgov?
No, but Clay, my point is that contract nobody's gonna want it until after the second year, maybe, because I think it's gonna be most valuable in the last year. When all contracts are valuable in the beginning or at the end, because when they expire, that's when you want to get rid of them and teams want the cap space, right? So if you're And, like, again, what is Olynyk, an expiring $12 million contract, going to fetch you? A second-round pick? You know what I mean?
Like, no, but you're assuming that you're only moving the contract to move the contract. I'm telling you, I think Olynyk is a good, valuable
good
player
what,
at that number
team?
to a team that needs a center.
But
and
a
so if there's
a team
needs
that needs
a center,
is not going to want to commit multiple years to Kelly Olynyk.
I don't think.
In today's
you're
NBA,
not right.
In today's NBA. That, a guy like that, he's just a guy. He's not special. He's just a guy who's productive. He's just a guy. And you don't
want
to commit.
Who would you have rather seen them sign?
Nobody. Why did we have to sign that? Why did they have to sign
that? Because it's salary floor that you have to...
They'll need it.
You would have rather kept McBob on the roster.
You can front load the James Johnson deal. You know, there are things that you can do.
No, you can't front load the deal like that because there's a certain... in his deal in particular... the vets. It's different with Tyler Johnson. He had a different salary structure in his contract. You can't have a huge jump or drop in the contract.
That's fine. Yeah,
it's 4.5% incremental decrease or increase, 4.5%, unless it's a bird right player. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So you can do the 2.5 decrease from the start, but or you can give shorter deals, like to sign a guy for short term. If you have to reach a salary floor, you can sign Rudy Gay for 1 year and an option. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think that's our point, though, is that your flexibility is then for what? Because there are no free agents next year that. Again, unless you've got some wind that Russ or LeBron want to come here, or Paul George all of a sudden doesn't want to go out to LA anymore, none of those guys.
At that point, then you need to be bad because their pick is top seven protected. Then at that point, you need to be bad and keep your pick. Like this, there's no, and I understand. Like we did this last year. The thing of it's, and last year was incredibly fun. And I'm not the guy telling you to root for your team to lose. I'm not that guy. But what I'm saying is that if you're team building, and if I'm telling you, if you're gonna go after free agents, I'm gonna get with you because they've been successful doing that and this X, Y, Z. But if you're telling me that there's nothing available, there's nothing realistic available next year, and if they're not gonna keep their pick, what are they doing? They're just committing money to nothing. They're losing flexibility, and it's just a vortex of nothingness. That's gonna be the name of the show: Vortex of Nothingness.
Is this team even gonna be fun to watch?
Well, yes. I think so.
No, I think so.
No, I think they'll be entertaining.
I mean, the first half of the season was dreadful. Like, if they fall off from their second half performance at all, aren't people just going to be tearing their hair out by December?
Oh, listen, if this team starts bad and Olynyk's not playing well, I cannot wait for Heat Twitter. Cannot wait.
Then they'll move the contract in February. Like, I don't understand what you guys have...
Dude, why do you think Harrison thinks that Riley's going to wave a wand and, hey, take our 4 years of Kelly Olynyk? Like, dude, why do you think that?
Guys, there were teams like the Heat weren't even mentioned in the Kelly Olynyk sweepstakes. There were five or six other teams that were interested. So obviously he wanted to come to Miami. So assuming he doesn't get very injured, this is not a deal where we completely overpaid for a player. Like
Harrison, it's six what are they years. Gonna, nobody was going to give him. Who the hell was going to give him 4 years? That's such
you
a.
You have map. No idea. You have no idea what other people are going to want to give him. That's
and
you're
you,
saying
and
that
you have an
you're
idea,
angry.
And you have an idea that they're going to be able to move him.
Yeah, I don't think 4 years for a 26-year-old is unreasonable
not a big
at all.
Deal.
Yeah, but that's
I,
not
I
that's
I don't have an issue with
what
that
teams
at
are
all.
Doing that. Like that's not a prudent thing to do. Bad teams give out those deals. Good teams don't do that. Well, good teams are giving out 4 year deals to just mediocre role players.
What would you even get back in a trade for Kelly Olynyk?
A second round pick? You're not getting a first round pick for Kelly Olynyk.
Would you even get a second round pick?
Probably. I mean, or a salary dump or something.
I think you guys are missing the most important point in all of this.
His nickname?
No, not the nickname. I think the whole point about this is you can actually prove that Spoelstra is a better coach than Brad Stevens. If you maximize Kelly Olynyk.
I mean, guys,
you're not allowed to contribute anymore. You've been bad today.
No, think about it.
You've been bad.
Guys get moved for first round picks all the time that aren't like
man, give me example,
either of the
give
length.
Me, give me an example of dudes that get moved for first round picks in the recent.
Lou Williams.
Man,
got
Lou Williams
moved
is
the
not
deadline
a dude.
For a first round
dude. Lou Williams is better than Kelly Olynyk.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is, dude. He was averaging like 20 something points a game.
He was having a
John Evans.
Huh?
Yeah.
That guy's also better than Olynyk.
I disagree with you.
That Lou Williams averaging 20 something points a game was better than that's such a lame stat to use, but he was very good.
Are you one of those people that thinks Devin Booker is better than Justice?
Oh man. Justice better.
Who?
Justice better, man.
Yeah, I mean Bam come bestest. On.
Okay, I've been too angry, my throat hurts. Have you guys seen
You look like Alex Jones.
Huh?
Yeah. You've been
this
Alex,
be the Alex
Jones. Tyler Johnson's turning the frogs gay.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Clay. I'm not we try to have fun here and this has made me very angry.
Unhinged.
Are you guys aware of what Kelly Olynyk's nickname is? It's called Maple Bleep.
What?
Yeah, Maple Bleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there an explanation?
I don't know, but it's all over the timeline, and Amber Wilson is saying, trying to ignore an entire timeline full of, in quotes, maple bleep. I'm going to let you fill in the bleep. We just signed that guy. Why am I saying we? This is, you know what, Clay? I'm a journalism student. And being on this show with these clowns, they've converted me to say we all the time. And I used to never do that. I used to be a professional. Now I'm saying we signed. And I was like, who are we? Who is this community of we?
This is actually a topic that we've had quite a few times. And this is my take on this whole thing. You can say we. Where are you a student? Where are you a student right now?
FIU.
FIU. Okay. So since you go to FIU, you can say we when you're talking about the Panthers because you are actively supporting the product.
No, so you not on student radio and not in a newspaper. Absolutely.
No, I mean, but with tuition.
Oh. Oh. Well, yeah, I guess.
So, like, I went to Virginia Tech, so I have no problem saying we when I'm talking about Tech football, Tech basketball. But I grew up in Louisiana and grew up a Saints fan. When I talk about the Saints, I would not say we. That's where I draw the line. Now here's the rub. As a Heat fan, if you're paying for season tickets or tickets in general, are you not supporting the product?
That doesn't make it we.
Why?
Because
you're supporting the product. You're paying. You're helping pay for the team.
I feel like when you're in college, you are. It's not that you're paying tuition. Is that college is. University is a community, right? So it's like, and I still wouldn't say, when I talk about the team, I wouldn't say we, but I think you can say that you are a part of a community that is your university. I don't like when people say we when talking about like UM, even if you're a UM student, you know what I mean? Like we.
Yeah. Let me clarify that. You said as a journalism. Yeah. Like if you're doing a recap, if you're.
No. I'm just talking about as a fan at this point, as a journalist, yeah. And as like you, that's, okay. That's an absolute no. But
as a fan though, I don't know. I think we just take so much of this stuff way too seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
If you say
God.
We. I don't care. If you say us, say them.
I don't like.
Cool.
I don't know. No, you're right. And Clay, do you ever like lament how starched sports coverage is?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Why?
And,
do you
and
like
it's why.
This?
It's why I love the Levitard show. He has a way of making us all make fun of ourselves, and it's sorely needed. And I have problems with two things. I have a problem with people who take this thing way too seriously, and I think starched is a great word. And the other thing that I have a real problem with, and this can take us in a different direction, I have a problem with the whole first takiness of journalism, if you want to put that in air quotes, where you have people that will take strong angles on things and form strong opinions that I'm sitting here thinking, you absolutely do not think that. And you do it for the sake of creating controversy.
Skip Bayless.
Like you guys talking right now, you sitting here talking and yelling and screaming about Kelly Olynyk. I have no problem with that because I firmly believe that you are being 100% genuine when you're saying you are angry about them getting Kelly Olynyk. I have no problem with that. If you were to come on here and say, and one of you say, I think Kelly Olynyk will now help the Heat challenge the Warriors, or somebody came on and said, I think now because we have Kelly Olynyk, we're going to go 2-80, I will fight you. Then that's what this has become. And it drives me nuts where I see the ratings through the roof for some of these shows. And I'm like, man, like, be genuine, be authentic, be, you know, at least let me know that what you're saying, I can believe in. And if you're passionate about this, it's great.
I think there's a value though in maybe being a Skip Bayless type, but it be a character, right? Like the Colbert thing, like the Colbert Report, like something like that. I think we all know that Skip's a character and Stephen A to an extent, but they don't admit it. So there's always that hint of, so like you're not in on the joke. Like we're laughing at you, not with you. With Colbert, we're laughing with him because he knows it's like, we all know that he knows it's a joke, but with Skip and Stephen A, like we're not entirely sure, although we assume, you know what I mean?
Man,
that's your stick.
If that's it, then absolutely, and it's brilliant, and man, it's worked for
Skip.
Are
you familiar with Kevin Das on Twitter? Kevin Das, at Kevin Das.
What'd he say?
No, but he, it's kind of, like, he is this parody account that he's like this like overzealous Cavs fan, and it's really funny. Okay. Right, and it's like they'll do something and he'll disown Cleveland like on a Twitter rant, and it's really funny, but it's a character, and like we all know it's a character, and we're pretty sure it's somebody on Heat Twitter, because like all he follows are Heat Twitter people, but like that's funny, like he's making fun of sports fans, and it's funny.
But do you think that most people that watch Bayless believe that he is a caricature?
Oh, no. I know they don't. Okay. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who, like, thinks Stephen A. is all-knowing, and I was like, Dwayne, no, he's not. He's just saying bleep because it's good television. And he goes, no, dude, no, I don't think so. And I go, are you serious? I think this even has contaminated, like, you know, those political pundits on TV shows. Like, you're just taking opposite stances to create television. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
and look... Look at the ratings of the networks that you know are largely conservative versus liberal. I mean, the middle ground does not do very well.
No.
In the ratings.
I think conflict sells.
That's a problem.
And they're teaching us that in journalism school, not to do conflict, but they're teaching us like you're sitting in class and our teachers are playing clips of news and they go, what's going on here? What are they selling you? What is this news coverage? It's conflict. They're selling you conflict. They're selling you debate. It's
yes.
not discussion. It's conflict because people like conflict.
And I think, and yeah, to your point about sports, if it's genuine, then I love it. I think that's what, you know, I mean, my buddy and I, we did a sports radio show when I was in Fort Myers, and our best shows were when we went in knowing that we genuinely disagreed about something. And, I think that's when you create good discussion. That's when you can kind of see, you know, like, again, with this Olenek discussion, people who are so far on one side can at least see a little bit of the other side and vice versa, where you can at least try to understand what the rationale was, or on the flip side, you can try to understand why the other side is so angry about it and why they don't get it.
But if nobody wants to watch people agree.
Right. And I think there is value in being genuine. There is value in differing opinions, in all sorts of discussion, in all sorts of debate, as long as it is genuine. And I think that's my problem, is I think that's largely been lost, which it's funny how we started this whole thing on how journalism is becoming too starched in sports.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
All of a sudden I go
and
on a rant.
And then we became the starch ones taking his very seriously. Yeah, we've talked about the ethics of journalism. And
so,
Harrison, are you awake?
Yeah, you guys started going off, and I don't know. Okay.
Crap, well, I can tell you in school, and this is a Miami Heat podcast. I don't understand what's going on.
Okay. I got a little offended that Giancarlo called us clowns when he doesn't look in the mirror and see the clown himself. But otherwise,
oh, I'm a clown.
Y'all can edit that part out, right? Y'all can edit that whole last rant out, right?
No, keep that.
We can leave that off the AP podcast.
We don't edit anything.
Let's make a Deuces podcast network so popular.
Oh yeah, crap! You want to tell people about the Deuces, where they can find you?
What's that on Twitter?
No, Crab is part of a podcast network.
I mean, which podcast?
The
Deuces, like, there's Deuces on the Clock,
the network,
Zimbabwe and Hyper Deuces, Little Deuce Coop.
Yeah, what's the one that you do with Dose?
All of them. They're like 287.
Oh, I didn't know you do all of them with Dose on the
Yeah.
Deuces podcast.
Yeah,
want to eat grilled cheeses?
Let me tell you something. That is one of my funniest Twitter. Like, that is the funniest Twitter bit to me. And if you're unfamiliar with it,
it's not a bit.
It's real, man.
I'm sorry. Subscribe to the Deuces Podcast Network on iTunes. Please do that. Crab's show was great with Dose Me With Us. You can find us at the Almighty Baller. Thank you, Almighty Baller. Brian, are we still on Das Radio? No, right?
From what I heard, they're still down, and they got a new computer to run a new server. So maybe this month. Maybe.
So maybe we'll be back on Das Radio. Okay, cool. And you can find us powered by...
It could go either way.
Hashtag could go either way, yeah. why is
you
he
can find us on MiamiHeatBeat.com.
Hold on, I'm glad that you said
we
that.
We got stories dropping.
I'm glad that you said that. Check us out at HeatBeatMiami.com. Follow us on Twitter at MIAHeatBeat. You can follow me at GNavis103, and the rest of us you'll find eventually. That just reminded me about, I want to talk a little bit about Heat Twitter. why are we so mean? And did you see what happened to Ben Dossett over the weekend?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Listen. I am one for jokes. And I love jokes. And I love making jokes at Ben Dawson's expense. For those of you who don't know, Ben Dossett is a writer who covers...
He's an editor for Basketball Insiders who happens to be a Utah Jazz fanboy.
Okay, yes, that. Exactly. Ben Dossett has gotten into it with the Twitter several times to the point that he has all of us muted. Except for Nikias for some reason. Well, because Nikias is nice. And he was saying kind of racially charged things that I'm sure that he didn't think were racially charged, but they racially charged things about Miami and Hispanic culture and stuff like that. And then I think it was it at Sucks? Was it Sucks who made the fake racist tweet?
Yeah, it was him.
Okay, thank you. No, you guys left me to dry. Thanks, Harrison.
It's either him or Scriba or...
Whatever. Yeah. One of them. I'm pretty sure it was
the Cobain guy.
Yeah, who made a fake racist tweet that Ben Dossett did not tweet. It was something to the effect of that hip-hop culture, XYZ, but it was pretty bad. And I was thinking when that happened, I was like, my God, why is this community like this? Like, Clay, were you following that?
I didn't see all that. The last thing I remember with... I think it was Ben Dowsett that said this. It was something... Wasn't he trying to compare the rosters of the Heat and couldn't understand why Rudy Gobert... why anybody would dare think that Hassan was anywhere near Rudy Gobert or something. Yeah. That was the last I remember seeing of him.
Oh, so no, that was the start of it, Clay. That's where it was birthed.
Yeah, it's when he called Chris, our own Chris, our
Christian Hernandez,
numbers and analytics expert. He called him a psychopath and obtuse
for comparing Hassan to Rudy Gobert. And then the fire. But like since then, Heat Twitter has been starved for attention and for blood, because this community was one that was born in the fire. Heat Twitter was born out of the country's hatred for the Miami Heat and LeBron James. And that's how this community of fans, like, everything was defensive, right? Like, we were defensive about everything because constantly news coverage, any anchor, any fan base, everybody was attacking Miami constantly. So this fan base developed thick skin and we punch back a lot. And Ben Dossett was the latest victim, and it kind of like, it was funny to me. It was also not right. I want to get that out of here. Like, don't make fake racist tweets. You can honestly ruin someone's career. We're just having fun. But man, like, this community is a kind of savage that I think is up there with about any internet community ever. And I've been a part of a lot because I've grown up with the internet. And I can't. I mean, maybe we're not at the alt-right Reddit people or the Gamergate people, but damn, we're close. I mean. Thank you all for letting me high and dry. Thanks for the contributions.
Well, I'll go back because I was not here when the big three came together. I was in Fort Myers, and we were able to follow the big events. Like, I came over for the unveiling, the raising out of the floor, and everybody. Like, I was there for that, and we would come over when there were really big events involving the Heat, but. We watched a lot of that from afar, and it's funny. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been over there, but it's a much different sports market over there. The NFL is huge over there. I mean, it destroys the NBA. The NBA, nobody cares about whatsoever on that side of the state, and I'm not sure why. They finally started bringing in the I forget which radio station. I want to say it's 770 is the ESPN affiliate over there, but it's the 790 calls from Mike Inglis of the radio broadcasts. And so I think that started to pick up a little interest over there. But so I say all this to tell you, I think I had a more of an outsider's perspective on the big three coming together, and I can tell you from the outside, absolutely 100%, there was the national view was that of wow, they're ruining the competitive balance, they're ruining the game. It was I think it was the first I, look. Draymond said it to LeBron about, hey, you started the super teams. Well, in reality, I can see where he's coming from with that. But LeBron also had a point that they had to build something here. So I guess what you're saying is that Heat Twitter in general, it was formed because of there was this us against the world mentality. And I can tell you from being on the outside there, that absolutely did exist. Now, being in it now, I will tell you that there are so many misconceptions about Heat fans nationally. And I've been very surprised, and I wish that the nation could get more of a feel for what Heat fans are about, how loyal they are. And it's not hard. Look at the TV ratings. Look at the sellout streaks.
Look at the social media. How people talk about the team.
Right. And social media is tough because in many respects, yes, every fan base has people that are way too high, way too low, or right in the middle, and really smart and really loyal, and it just varies how much of each one there is. But things like TV ratings, that's hard. I mean, that is hard data that you can look at and say, hey, these fans haven't gone anywhere. And it's since LeBron left, it's varied between 4 and 6. The Heat have between the 4th and the 6th best ratings of any NBA team, local ratings of any NBA team in the country.
Look at the finals.
It's behind
ratings.
Golden State. It's behind Cleveland. And I want to say it's behind Oklahoma City. And then at times it's behind San Antonio. And look, that's loyalty. And yes, don't tell me that no arenas throughout the league don't have empty seats, because that's everywhere. Don't tell me anybody who has tried. My wife and I, 2 years ago when I came down here, no, it was 3 years ago, because I came here at the end. I covered the last year of the Big Three. And the next year was the first time that my wife was able to move over. And so we were able to kind of just go to a game as fans and hang out and, eat nachos and do whatever. So it was the first time that I was at the arena trying to get to the arena by game time. And I was like, all right, babe, well, we'll leave and we'll plan on getting there, half hour early so you can see warm up, stuff like that. Guys, we got there in the second quarter. I thought coming in at that time, we were going to get there so early that we were going to be able to see everything. I'm so used to being out at the arena 3 hours before the game starts. I had no clue. So I think unless you are in this, unless you're involved, you don't understand how difficult it is to get out to a game on a weeknight.
There's two highways that get to downtown. There's the I-36, that's the only highway in the city that goes east-west, and then there's the 95, which everyone from Broward has to, and that bottlenecks. That all has to flush into the same two-lane Northwest 8th Street.
Yeah, going off your, and I know you started talking about the stuff with Dallas,
we're bleep crazy. Like, that was the point. Like, this is a bat bleep crazy fan base.
Can we talk a little about the traffic in Seattle?
Well, to your point though, none of that stuff, you don't condone any of that stuff. It's brutal. But I think that is not, to me, I have been incredibly impressed by almost all Heat fans I've run into, their loyalty, their passion. And this is something I have to freely admit, I was surprised. And it was only because this is the national view. This is what's being put out there. And this is me coming in as an outsider and seeing, oh, this is what the fan base is all about. And it was, I got to enjoy the 1 year of the Big Three. But then I really got to see this Heat fan base and many of the fans for who they really are. And that's a group. It would have been really easy to leave. That's the definition of a bandwagon fan. LeBron leaves, you go out the door. And that didn't happen. And the numbers bear it out. And you know, we talk about our group at work. Our producer David Lang. You can find Dookie Lang. He's a Duke homer. It's disgusting. But he says something that I think really makes a lot of sense to me. He said, "You can tell me what you're passionate about. You can tell me what you love, but I look at two things: where do you spend your time, where do you spend your money." And Heat fans are clearly spending their time watching these games on television, many of them spending their time going out to the arena, and they're spending their money going out to the arena. And that speaks volumes to me. That shows loyalty. Not only are they passionate, not only do they know the game, they're proving it. And I think that's really cool. And I, you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm on with you guys.
No, I think you're just ingracing yourself to the South Florida audience.
No, look, I'm freely admitting that coming in, I did think it was a bandwagon fan base.
How dare you, Brian? Hang up on him.
Seriously,
hang up on him.
Let's put that one out there. And you know, I maybe I shouldn't say that. I just looked at the ESPN. You know, and everybody saw the. You know, you see the video of the fans leaving early before the Ray Allen shot. Well, okay, that's really easy. And then we see that happen in all these other arenas, but because the Heat fans were the first ones that got caught doing it, all of a sudden that's what people remember. I feel like you have a group of people that are very passionate, and I don't think gets enough credit nationally. For how well they know basketball and how passionate they are and how much time they devote to their team. So it's cool. It's been really fun to cover. I went from a market that was football crazy. I love college football. That's always been my baby. But coming over here, NBA has become one of, if not
hashtag
my
basketball town.
Yeah, well, that's another debate to get into. That's
let's
start that debate.
No,
that'll be fun.
No, yeah, we need a whole hour for that.
Yeah. Seriously. But no, it's cool. It's fun. It's cool to see you guys as a fan base hang with your team. And you criticize the Kelly Olynyk move because you care, because you're passionate, because you love the team.
And because he's a smelly hippie.
but you care. And that's fun to see. So I think... you know, if you ever get to a point where you aren't angry about a move, then I think you have the question.
I've been angry about Tyler Johnson this whole time, and I'm not about to stop. Which, by the way, we're almost done with the show. We're pretty much recording for an hour, and Tyler Johnson is...
Flo here with a really weird word. Buttery. Buttery? It's not quite butter. It's more butterish. Or maybe buttery is like butchery or bakery, a shop that sells artisanal butter products. Dig in, America. Now a word that's even more weird. Flotection. Sure, it's not really a word, but it is really good protection for your new home through me and Progressive. No ifs, ands, or butteries about it. Sorry.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.